We have exams next week because of the weather situation we had, and we had to reschedule some things. So we were supposed to have exams last week, but I wanted to get some more class scheduling done, get some more classwork done before we have our next exam. So next week we'll have our exams in this particular class, as always, open book. And it's going to be on chapters. I know the name of the chapter, but I don't know what chapter. Are they going to be on 7 and 8? All right. Chapter 7 and 8. Tonight class probably won't be that long because I want to finish the will, but I didn't want to go into putting it all together yet. The next chapter until we come back from exams. And then we'll finish the year off with talking about our spirits, which should take us the rest of the semester. All right. If you would turn with me to, let's see. Yes. I did. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Thank you so much, though. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. Yes, ma'am. If you would turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Last week we were together, we started talking about the will. The will is the strongest part of the human soul. Everything else is affected by the will. The will. All other parts of your soul, your imagination, your memory, all those things play in a part in determining the decision you make. Your will is the part that helps you make decisions. And that's the part that the bite is going to follow. That's the part of the mind that the body that your flesh clings on to because it gets instructions from that particular part of your mind. Everything else gives its input. Your memory gives its input. Intellect gives its input. Your emotions give their input. But when it comes down to decision making, it is your will. So the will is the strongest part of the human soul. We begin to talk about how now our will makes the choice, but we don't get it twisted. Our will is not what makes it happen. All right. Our will, listen to me, internet, our will allows us to make the choice. And even more so now, execution of what the will want, especially when it comes to living for God, is no longer in our court. Once you choose to make the right decision, once you choose whatever you do, especially when it comes to living for God, grace then kicks in and helps you, empowers you to do it. There are two aspects to grace. There is an acceptance grace, and there is an empowering grace. There are two components to grace. Your acceptance grace puts you in a position that your will is not dominated by the enemy. And then once you make the decision, then the empowering grace comes in and what? Gives you power to do it. Are you seeing this? So our wheels, basically, we're in the point to where we have to train our wheels to make the right decisions. This is where Romans 12 and 1 comes in. The 12th chapter, first verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right? So here it is. We have to renew our minds so that we can recognize the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, here's the thing. Most people get it confused that God is sovereign, and because of his sovereignty, that if something happens to me, that must be what he wants. That's not true. See, the only thing, God will not override your ability to choose. He will not override your will. So whenever we begin to renew our minds with the word of God, notice what it says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, when you present your body, this is very key. When you present your body, you're telling God, God, look, I'm yielding myself to you. You're going to have to make me whole. See, it's not you presenting your body holy. You present your body, he's going to have to make you holy. See, when God, you got to understand how Paul is talking. Paul is talking from the standpoint of offense. I mean, when I say offense, he's not on the defense. He's not trying to recover from sin. He's speaking from the standpoint that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when he said you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, he's not coming from the standpoint of how you present yourself. He comes from, because according to him, when you present yourself to God, you're holy and acceptable. Because that's how God sees you. Are you seeing this? So it's not you having to get right before you present yourself. It's you presenting yourself, and then God is making you. Is that making sense?
Yes,
sir. See, Paul is talking from the standpoint of, you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, so it's almost as if he is ignoring all your shortcomings. He has a right to ignore them because according to what Jesus did on the cross, he done paid the price for your past, present, and future sins, your future shortcomings. So that means you can come right out from having a misstep and present yourself to God, and God sees you holy. Are you seeing this? So when you present yourself to God, what you're telling God is, I trust you with me, then I trust myself with myself. Are you seeing this? So now God turns around. Paul begins to explain further, turns around. Okay, now that you've presented yourself, you are holy, you are acceptable unto God. He says the reasonable service, that's the least you could do, right? Because that's really all you need to do. So that's the least you can do. That's the very minimum you can do, is just present yourself to God. Because when God sees you as his son and his daughter, you are holy. You are acceptable. Now Paul begins to go into the second verse and begin to tell you how you can avoid the pitfalls of making bad choices. Watch what he says. And be not conformed to this world. What it means to be conformed to this world? It's talking about not so much this world, the earth, it's more talking about the system. Here's what he don't want you to be conformed to. He don't want you to be conformed from getting your decision-making influences from the devil. Because that's how the world system was established. real good. See, Genesis talks up. Genesis, the first chapter, the first three chapters, if you read those over and over, you begin to see how Jesus Christ began to undo a lot of things Adam and Eve did. So Adam and Eve, along with the devil, began to set up another system beside which God has set up. So now God is telling them, hey, I'm going to make it easy. I need you to present your body as a living sacrifice. When you present it to me, I'm going to make it holy and acceptable. Now let me help you make the right choices. This is how you're going to make the right choices. Be not conformed to this world. Other words, don't shape your mentality after the world system. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Other words, taking the word of God and renewing your thoughts. We're right back at what we talked about at the beginning. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act, and your actions bring certain results. So now watch this. What if I'm not conformed to the world? Other words, I'm not allowing the environment of the world to shape my thoughts. I'm allowing the word of God to shape my thoughts. Then I can recognize the right decisions to make. So now my will is in check. See, it's not me, it's not what I do that makes me holy. It's not what I do. It's not nothing that I've done to make me holy or have a conduct of holiness, have a right conduct. That's what holiness is. It's me presenting my body to God, God making me holy and making me acceptable because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then God is turning around and telling me, hey, now that you're washed and clean, don't go back and be conformed or allow your thoughts to be shaped by the world system. Are you seeing this? Then he goes on to say this. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, for the grace given to him, not to think of yourself or himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think solely according as every man has dealt, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So in other words, God has dealt you enough faith that you can present yourself as a living sacrifice. See, what it is, see, when you say, when you, it's actually, God, I surrender. God, I surrender. I surrender everything to you. I surrender my life. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender everything. When I surrender, God comes in and makes all of that holy and acceptable, regardless of what you have done. Are you seeing this? And then he turns around and begins to explain it, how we recognize the right decision to make. The Bible talks about God say, I set before you this day death and life. Choose life. Okay. So is that not you not being conformed to this world? Because death and life is set before you. But then God comes back and tells you to choose life. So that you renewing your mind with the word of God, and now you're able to recognize the right decisions to make. Are you seeing? So you see how you keep your will in check. You keep your will in check by presenting your body to God. He's making it holy and acceptable. Are you seeing this? See, we read that scripture and don't understand the way Paul is coming from and how Paul, what Paul background is, Paul's background is not, he's really not telling you to present your body holy and acceptable. He's telling you to present your body and God is going to make it holy and acceptable because you can't do it. So it's not so much of me having to be right before I present my, the perfect time to present yourself to God is when you're in trouble. See, that's why I no longer have problem with people that run to God in a time of trouble, even though they've been ignoring him all them other times. See, there was a thought, not so much a teaching, but people say, I heard a statement the other day, and I said this guy needed to hear about grace. he said, I made a statement, don't pray to God when it's raining if you haven't prayed to him while it was sunshine. That ain't grace. That's not grace. I believe a person who is in the midst of trouble ain't never holler out the name of God. They have every much a right to holler the name of God than some of us who've been in the body for 25, 30 years. Are you seeing this? So it's not us presenting our bodies, it's not us presenting our holy and acceptable bodies. It's us just presenting our bodies, God making it holy and acceptable. See how that makes sense?
Yes,
then God has cleaned us up, then given us the formula of how we can make the right decisions. By not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many see that? Go to Romans, the 7th chapter. And here it is, Paul, again, we talked about this last week. Here it is, we talked about, Paul is talking about here, about I want to do right, but when I want to do right, I do wrong. When I know the right thing to do, but every time I go to the right thing, evil is present all around me. See, Paul got to the point, oh, wretched man that I am. He began to realize that it's not going to be him that conquer that sin nature, but it's him presenting. Here's the key. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now that sounds funny. It sounds strange. Because usually a sacrifice is dead. So it means something in the process of me presenting my body, something died. See this? So Paul began to say, oh, the wretched man that I am. Paul is really talking about that old man that needed to be crucified. Are you seeing this? So when that old man is crucified, then your will is freed up to make the right choices. As long as that old man is still alive, you ain't going to be able to make the right choices. You're going to fight to make the right choices. You shouldn't have to fight to make the right choices. You shouldn't have to fight. It shouldn't be an ongoing battle because you're fighting somebody that should be dead.
That's right.
I think it's Romans, the 6th chapter. We talked about it last week. It's good to see it again. Romans, the 6th chapter. Watch this. Yeah, Romans, the 6th chapter, 11th verse. Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, verse 12. Let not the old man reign in your mortal bodies. You see that? Let not your old man sin, or the sin nature, reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. That has to do with your will. So your will, if your will shouldn't have to be adhering to two parties. It should be only adhering to one party. Now, you say, I know the old man passed away. I know he's supposed to. I reckon that he dead. How do I actually do this? What do I actually do? Actually, you do nothing. All you have to remember is that he's dead. And believe it. And remind yourself. How do I remind myself that the old man is dead? 1 Corinthians.
the 11th chapter. The 24th verse.
See, because it's time for us to take this act that Jesus did and take it from outside of the four walls of the church and bring it into our homes. Because this wasn't meant to be a religious act. It was supposed to be a holy reminder. Are you seeing that? This was never designed, communion was never designed to be a religious act, but a holy reminder. Watch this. Watch what Jesus said. This is very important. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of myself." Or let me say it this way. Because I know that I said it, but it sounded like I said it another way. Watch this. "Which is broken for you, this do in remembering of yourselves." That's not what it says. It's Jesus talking in red, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of." Other words, when I go through this, when I take communion, I'm reminding myself of what Jesus did on the cross. What did Jesus do on the cross? He died for my sins, and at the same time, my old man was crucified with that. My sin nature that I used to have was crucified with him. The old me is dead. Are you seeing this? Watch this now. Watch. He said, verse 25, "After the same matter, also he took the cup, which when he had sucked, he saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in.'" He ain't never mentioned you. He ain't reminding you of your wretchedness. He's not reminding you of your shortcomings. If you remember your shortcomings, it's because you have resurrected that old man. And you're not reckoning that an old man was crucified with Christ. So, yes, you're going to always have trouble with your will if you let that old man stay alive. See, it's not your acts that make you holy. It's your position. And I behave from my positions. I was reading a book the other day. This gentleman made a statement. He said, when we fully embrace what Jesus did on the cross and we fully embrace the power of grace, you will shift from having to live right to wanting to live right. Says no longer I have to do this, but I want to do this. See, that's that empowering aspect of grace. That shifts you from having, that's it, half, I don't have to live right, I want to. Why? Because now it's no more, Paul in that seventh chapter had two beings pulling on him. He had his recreated human spirit, and he had that old sin nature pulling on him. He say, "I know I'm supposed to be doing right. Every time I go to do right, I do wrong. And every time I do wrong, I remember I was supposed to be doing right." Because that old man was still alive. But in that eighth chapter, in that first verse, watch this. Go there. Talking about your will now. Talking about your will. How you successfully deal with that will. When he got into that eighth chapter, the first verse. Listen to me now. When he got into that eighth chapter, the first verse, he finally had decided to let that old man, that sin nature, remain dead and stay crucified. Because watch this. He said,
there is, I'm going to read it a certain way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Who in Christ Jesus, period. The rest of that was added. Who are in Christ Jesus. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, you're not going to walk after the sin nature. That's what I'm talking about, the flesh.
That's right.
You're going to walk after the new recreated human spirit. Are you seeing this? So now it becomes easy when you can recognize the difference between death and life. He said, I said before you this day, death and life. Choose life. Other words, now it ain't no problem with the will. It ain't no difficulty in making the right decision. It is no difficulty in my will recognizing God's will. Because we lined up. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you can ask what you will. Are you seeing it? It's all lined up because now it's no longer Galatians 2:20. Turn that. We're going to close here. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. See this process? First, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's an old man dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It ain't me living. But what it says, Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh. It's talking about in your human body. See, it's not the same flesh talking about in Romans 8:1. That flesh is actually translated to sin nature. This here is actually talking about your mortal bodies. The same mortal body that Paul said you need to present in Romans the 12th chapter. He said, watch this. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by or through what Jesus did on the cross. Who loves me and took my place. Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not going to get in the way of what he did. That's what that 21st verse means. 20. I'm not going to get in the way of what he did. I'm not going to try to fight this on my own. I'm going to let this old man stay dead. Because remember now, you're the only one who can resurrect that old man. You're the only one. Matter of fact, in Romans, the first chapter, the 18th verse, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness, right, of man. The reason why people seem like Christians, seem like they sin and something bad happens to them is, watch this, God... anger, the Amplified say his anger and his holy indignation is kindled against ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. Based on us teaching the law, close here, based on us teaching the law, listen to me, based on us teaching the law, we automatically assume that ungodliness and unrighteousness can become one with man just like Jesus can become one with man. But it can't, because when God created man in the beginning, he created man in his image, after his likeness, and breathed his spirit into man. Yeah. Satan came after and tried to attach his spirit to man, yeah. Attach his nature to man. So when God sent Jesus, Jesus was coming, watch this, to judge unrighteousness and ungodliness. So watch this, we go back to the first, Romans 1, and 18, when it says God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, right? of man. So we talk in plain English, we said God is coming to get man's ungodliness and man's unrighteousness. All right, watch this. What if there was a way that I could disconnect myself from ungodliness and unrighteousness? That means God is just coming to get the unrighteous and ungodly. He's not coming to get man. So the reason why sometimes it seems like people are being judged when they're in sin is because they either don't know how or don't want to disconnect from the unrighteousness or the ungodliness. Because the law has to come judge unrighteousness and ungodliness. So see why the will is important, because you have to learn to make the right decision. Even, watch this, even in the midst of having a misstep or in the midst of sin, if you can make the right decision, you can disconnect yourself from unrighteousness and ungodliness and let God, let the judgment of God rain down on the unrighteousness and ungodliness, but I ain't no way around.
Wow.
You see that?
Awesome.
So how do I disconnect from unrighteousness and how do I disconnect from ungodliness? It's based on me saying, God, look, I didn't mean to do this. I repent. I change. Because grace now encapsulates us and separates us from the ungodliness and unrighteousness. So watch this. The law says every ungodly act and every unrighteous act has to be judged. But it never said that man had to be judged with it.
Wow.
Are you seeing this? See, the wrath of God is against man's. That's if man owns it. It's almost as if Tim and I, Tim know I smoke weed. Tim know I got a pound in the car, right? So he gets in the car innocent with me, right? So we ride down the road and we get pulled over by the cops. But when they search my car and see I got that pound of weed, then he, who ain't had nothing to do with it, is going to get the judgment of the law with me. But if Tim, knowing me and knowing that nine times out of ten, I got weed on me, and he makes a decision and say, hey, I'm not getting in the car with you, he has just detached himself from that behavior. That's what grace does with you in sin. Even after you have committed the sin, when you say, Lord, convict your head, just say, Lord, look, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. At that moment, you're now disconnected from the unrighteousness and the ungodliness. So when God's wrath comes to deal with the ungodliness and the unrighteousness, you ain't nowhere to be found. You stand on the other side of God and say, yeah, God, go ahead and get it. Yeah, God, go ahead and get it. Because you're standing behind him. Because grace has grabbed you,
yes,
disconnected
yes,
you from it, and put you behind
yes,
it.
Yes,
is that making sense?
Yes.
So your will is important. It's important that you always maintain, listen to me, internet, that you always maintain and know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Watch this. This is what communion does. I told my daughters and my son the other day, I said, anytime you make a mistake, anytime you sin. I got communion set up in my refrigerator all the time. I got communion all the time. I said, I want y'all to run to this table. I want you to run to this table. Take out the bread. Take out the cup. And remember what Jesus did for you to cross. And repeat to yourself, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because what Jesus said communion is supposed to do? Remind you of what he did. It's not supposed to remind you of what you did, but it reminds you of what he did. So as soon as you remember what he did, grace disconnects you from the ungodliness and unrighteousness. So when judgment or when the wrath of God comes against ungodliness and unrighteousness, you ain't nowhere attached to it. Are you seeing this? See, so it's your will is the thing that causes you to make the right decision. And here it is. I present my body a living sacrifice. He's going to make it holy. He's going to make it acceptable. And then he turns around and tells me, now, hey, don't get your thinking the same way. Don't start thinking the same way the world thinks. I want you to begin to think the way I think. When you think the way I think, then you're going to be able to make the right decisions. You're going to be able to make in tough times. Watch this. In tough times, even in the midst of sin, you're going to be able to make the right decisions. How many see that? Amen. We will go to chapter, what is it, chapter, week after next. What's the next chapter? Chapter 9. We won't be in chapter 9. We'll jump right into, I think it's chapter 10, talking about our spirits, because that's going to take us a while to do it. Remember, next week our exams on chapters, what, 7 and 8? All right. 7 and 8, open book. Be sure that tomorrow, if any of your instructors don't mention the exams, because I just decided this morning to do exams next week, so I think we had enough class instruction in between our last exam to do an exam. If they don't mention it, email them, find out, remind them in class, raise your hand, say, what about our exam? And that way it'll remind them that, hey, we're supposed to be taking an exam to let you know what the exam is going to be on. You all have a good night. Remember, now you're the righteous of God.